Amen. Y'all can take your seat. Man, that's so beautiful, y'all. Thank you. I say we just pray and go home. Just kidding. What's up, 5 o'clock? How y'all doing, man? I've been waiting for you guys all day. I think most of us know each other. In case we don't, my name is Ryan. I'm usually singing around here, but today I'm not. And Perry asked me to speak today. And when he did, I was probably just as surprised as maybe you are right now. And because I'm not a preacher. You know what I mean? And if I were a preacher, I wouldn't be half the preacher that Perry is. I wouldn't be a shade of him. He's amazing. I mean it. And we're so lucky to have him, y'all. So thankful for his friendship and for his teaching in my life. And man, I'm just honored to be here tonight. So thank you for coming. I'm going to just pass along a few things that have been lifelines to me, things that were secrets to me once, and thank God they're not anymore. And my hope and my prayer is that it's just helpful to you in some way. And before I guess we get too deep into this, can we just take a second and pray? Okay, good, thank you. God, thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you for all of these people here. Thank you for all the people in front of me right here in Anderson and all the people who are listening and watching online, people who have been in Columbia today, just all of these people that you've brought together, and you made us a community, and you made us something special and strong. And I don't take this for granted. It's made a huge impact on my life, and I just want to say thank you for this. God, I pray that you would make me useful tonight. I pray that you would take my words and give them meaning. I pray that you would just take this time that we have together, even though it's short. I pray that you would make it impactful. I pray that this information that you've helped me to uncover and to hold on to, I pray it would help somebody else. God, we love you. Thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Oh, Lord, please help me, by the way. Please help me get through this. Amen. Okay. Question I want to speak to tonight is this. Let's get right into it. Bless you. What do you do when your life falls apart? And it's for every single person that can hear me right now. Because I know that there are people here who would say this has happened to you. Your life has fallen apart. And I know that there are people here who are in the middle of this right now. And I do want to say to you, thank you for being here. Good for you for being here. That's a big step. And then for the rest of us who would say, man, I don't think my whole life's fallen apart. I've been through some hard stuff, but overall, it's been okay. It's been pretty good. I hate to be the one to break this to you. I really do. It's probably gonna at some point. You're almost certainly gonna experience some form of great pain and great loss in your life. Hardship, suffering of some kind. And so the things I want to pass along to you tonight, there are three main ones, okay? Listen, there's a lot more than three, but we have half an hour together. And I would keep you here for weeks if I tried to cram years of life into this little time we have together. So I picked three, I prayed through these three. I think they're gonna be the most helpful and the most impactful. It's not an all-encompassing list, and I'm gonna leave a lot out of my story. I want to let you know that too. We're going to cover a lot of ground quickly. Ooh, okay, so let's do it. First thing I want you to remember is this, that your heart is big enough to hold both wonder and sorrow at the same time. I'll let you write that down. It's your first couple of blanks. Do me a favor, y'all. Raise your hand if you've ever laughed while you were hurt. Yeah, like laugh while you were crying or laugh when you weren't supposed to. A lot of us have. I have. And one time, Lauren and I were cooking dinner, and we were in the kitchen. Obviously, it's where you do that. And I was telling a story, and I was like getting into it, you know, and took a little break from dinner, and I bent down underneath the kitchen bar top that we had, and I'm like putting food and water in the dog's bowls. And I'm getting to the good part of the story, and I like stand up super fast, and I rocked my head on that bar top. Oh, wow. I'm saying I smashed it. Like I think I put cracks in the foundation of our house. They were just like. I don't usually get sad when I get hurt either. I just get like mad fast. And so I was fuming. And I'm just like, oh my God. And Lauren hears that sound and she like whips around. And she's like, freezes for a second. Hey, Lauren. And you know, I'm pretty sure I know the first words that are gonna come out of her mouth in a situation as dire as this one. It's gonna be like, baby, I got 911 on the phone right now, but what do you need? Because you must be broken. This is bad. Oh my gosh, are you okay? But that's not what she said. She said, are you okay? And then just burst into the biggest laugh ever. She's gone, okay? Like, and I'm talking, she's laughing harder than any time I've ever told her a joke or like tried to be funny. She is gone. And for the most tiny instant split of a second, seriously, I like start to laugh. And then I snap right back into it, and I'm more mad than I was before. And I like raise a big stink about it. I'm a huge baby, and we work it out. But my point in saying is this, that little burst of joy, that little burst of laughter, it didn't take away from my pain at all. And it didn't make it hurt any less at all. It brought life in. And it's still bringing in life today. Stuff like this. Every time we remember this story, we laugh about it. I think it's important that you know that your heart's big enough to hold sorrow and wonder, or pain and laughter. Because you might think that to experience one of those is to neglect the other. And that's a dangerous lie. Okay, because when it really counts, when you're really facing something, that could lead you to believe or to fall into a couple of traps, okay? Here's one. You might think that you owe it to someone that you love, that you've lost, to be locked into a state of sorrow and only sorrow for some set amount of time, okay? And spoiler, there is not a set amount of time. There are not rules for this. To what? Make it okay? It won't. Or you might think that you owe it to yourself or the people that you've hurt because of choices you've made to stay locked in a defeated state forever. To punish yourself. And you might miss the wonder as it breaks into your life because you believe that you can't experience more than just the pain that you're in. I need you to know that's not true. And I need you to know it's not true because, listen, you're gonna need that wonder when it breaks in. So please don't believe this. hitting your head on a bar top, although it was dire, it was terrible, it doesn't necessarily mean your life's falling apart, okay? I realize that. And this series that we're in is called Are You Ready to Get Real? And I hope that you are, because I do intend to do that. So let's move from a funny story to a real one, okay? Ready for that? You can say yes. Okay. It's fine if you're not ready. We're still gonna do it. Lauren and I have been married for 10 years in August. I can't believe that. That's crazy. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know how I did that, and let's all clap for that for sure. Yeah, again, let's bring it back. I wish that tonight's talk could just be like something so fun, like how to do the impossible and marry somebody so far outside of your league. But I don't know how to do that. I just know that it happened. And a couple of years into our marriage, we got pregnant with our first. And we knew we were gonna name her Copeland Ryan Capelli. And this pregnancy, this whole time was like magic. It was wonderful. It was a healthy pregnancy. And we were dreaming about what we'd be like as parents, you know, we were getting our house ready, doing all the things. And it was just a magic time. Fast forward to the last few moments of the delivery. And up until this point, everything was going beautifully. Lauren was doing beautifully. But because of where the umbilical cord was attached, it tore. And Copeland lost a lot of blood quickly. And babies don't have a lot of blood. So for the next 4 days, Copeland fought for her life, man. And I gotta tell you, here's a little bit of wonder. It was an honor. It was beautiful to watch Lauren during those days. She had just given birth, and she was given some meds that were meant to keep her in bed, and they couldn't. And within minutes, she's walking straight through that hospital, straight to our daughter's side, just taking care of her. And it became clear on the fourth day that we were going to have to say goodbye to her. She wasn't going to make it through. The doctors and nurses did everything they could. So we did. And this was the most wonderful and the most horrible that I'd ever experienced. I didn't know that it could get this good and this bad at the same exact time. We were completely broken. And we didn't know which way was up. But I did learn, Copeland taught me, Lauren taught me, that my heart was big enough to hold both wonder and sorrow. Second thing I want you to remember, we're going to come back to this, is that you need to guard your heart and your mind. And before we go any further, I just want this to be said out loud, okay? To have faith, this is your next blank, is to have at least some doubt. And that's okay. Otherwise, it would just be called knowing, not believing. And we don't need to be scared of this or act as if it isn't there, because it's going to cause so much dissonance and confusion. Do you know why? Because questions that need answers will not be asked. To have faith is to believe without having all of the evidence. That's what faith is. And it's because we don't have all of the evidence that we get to engage in this superpower that is faith. And it's a superpower because there's a gap between what you hope and what you know. And it's my joy to tell you today, it's right there in that gap that we can encounter God. He's always hanging out there. So have some faith and have it honestly, okay? Because if you do this, it can be and it will be a great comfort to you. And you'll walk away with a faith that can stand up to some things. And the thing about truth is, it holds up. Can't be made to be untrue. And God's not scared of your questions, okay? He knows that you have them. So get to the end of them. I have to be honest with you. I found it nearly impossible at this point in our story to believe that there's a God and he's good, that things like this can happen, and God's good. How? We're going to come back to this question. The next thing I want you to know is that perspective is vital. And guess what? It's your responsibility to gain it. I ain't playing nice tonight. I'm not gonna pull that punch. Please remember, here's some perspective. This is Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Pause. If you don't know how to pray, and it's completely fine if you don't know how to pray. It's right there. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. It's that simple. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Then you will experience God's peace. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And I need to tell you this. These verses, these things, they're for you so that you might have peace facing anything and find yourself still standing, okay? It's not a list of things to do so that God loves you, because that part of the deal is sealed. He loves you. Ain't nothing you can do about that. And I'm not saying that you're gonna be able to stand on verses like this and let them do their work in you completely right away in that moment, every time. I'm not saying it's not possible, but in certain moments, I think it's pretty out of reach. At least for me, it was. It's years later that I am speaking to you with any shred of hope telling you my story. It is many questions later. It's many dark nights. It's also a lot of miracles later, too. Whew. That's how I'm able to encourage you to do the next couple of things, too. This is letter C. Look for the good and never let go of it. Goes right with letter D. Look at your life through Scripture. Let's apply this, okay? let me make a side note. I'm not going to tidy up my story. I'm not going to put a positive spin on this, okay? So that we can all, like, hold hands and, like, sing Kumbaya and go home. That's not going to happen. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. But when I look at my life through these verses, when I look through the life that they give me, I can see more. I gain some perspective. This is what I see. I see that Copeland's death didn't happen to me. It happened to her. You know what happened to me? I fell in love with a beautiful baby girl. As she grew in her mother's belly, and from the instant I laid eyes on her, just like her mom. What happened to me is that I became a parent. She made me one. What happened to me is that to endure the loss of her, such a perfect and wonderful miracle and gift, is that I would have to look that pain square in the eye, feel it fully, wrestle it all the way down to the bottom, be willing to lose everything, and to find that down there, there is still hope. Hope that if God's real, and I believe he is, he's good. Here's the important part. The answer for how, it doesn't have to fit inside of this universe for it to still be true. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you know the relief that brought me? Because there's no reason. There's nothing anybody could say. Oh, that's why this happened. The answer's too big to fit inside of this world that we occupy. It's too big to fit our understanding. Realizing this possibility, it opened me up to see that goodness and wonder was breaking in all around me. I just saw more wonder in the midst of my sorrow, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. And even me coming to this conclusion, y'all, it's proof of that goodness, okay? Because you don't understand how impossible this felt to me. You don't understand how willing I was to just throw it all away and war against whatever force was responsible for the death of my daughter, for her losing her life before it even began. To my wife suffering this grief like this, to a lightning strike, to something wrong shouldn't have happened. I wouldn't be able to talk to you like this on my own. I can promise you that. That's a miracle. And I want to make one more note on great pain, great loss. It doesn't get easier. It's just that things also get better. Does that make sense? And that you must also become more to go on. Don't cheat yourself out of that blessing. Don't let that go under the radar. Don't cheat the people that you love around you that are still here from you grabbing onto that. Third thing I want you to remember is this: the way is through. And I have that already filled out in your outline because I thought we might need a break at this point. Everybody okay? We take a breath. Let me get a little water. Ricky, you want to come up and do a few minutes, man? Make us laugh for a minute. guys know the Israelites? You remember them? I promise it's okay to talk back to me. I'm really asking. God's people? Yeah, okay, you know the ones. If you don't know their story, basically they were stuck in slavery for a very long time. And God frees them, and he's taking them to a land that he promised them to be their own. And the Egyptians, who they were enslaved to, decided they wanted them back. And they were hell-bent on it. So they started chasing them. And they were catching up. And Israel has its back to the sea. They're trapped. They got nowhere to go. And in their eyes, they have two options here. They can fight, lose, die, because an army is coming their way. Or they could just submit and go back. And it looked like their journey was over. Okay, that's what they thought. That's what it looked like. But God tells Moses, their leader, to put his staff into the water. And when he does, the entire sea splits. Could you imagine this? And the waves stand straight up. And the Israelites cross through on dry land. God made a way for them where there was no way. Do you see this? Psalm 77 puts this really beautifully. Here it is. In verse 16, it says, "When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook." And here it is. "Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters." Look, a pathway no one knew was there. The way is through, and you don't have to know how you're going to get there. You just have to know who's taking you. And you might think, when you hear this story, that God doesn't do stuff like this anymore. God doesn't do miracles like this anymore. And listen, if that's the case for you tonight, it's my honor, it's my joy to tell you, you're wrong. While we were in the hospital with Copeland, people rallied around us, man. People that we knew, our friends and our families, many that we didn't, churches all over the place, strangers. She was on the news. They were asking people to join us and praying for her. People came out of every place, man. We didn't know how we were going to pay for our hospital bills. Our friends came together and they just started raising money for us. They paid for all of them. They paid for her funeral, dinner. Just kept showing up on our porch for months, every night. And people weren't even knocking on our door. They were just sending us a text. "Hey, you probably don't want to talk, but I left you some food if you want it." Some of y'all are here. Thank you. Stuff I'll never be able to say thank you for. These are miracles. That sounded really gross in the mic. I'm sorry. Oh, God. And people ask us how we made it through. It's like that. One miracle at a time, okay? And I don't have some 10-step plan I can give you to be totally fine when your whole world crumbles and falls apart. But I can tell you, he's going to make a way for you. If you only knew, man, what a miracle it is, even though Laura and I are here and in church, and I have this preacher's mic on my face, and we're here together, you don't understand. And in the next couple of years after this, a couple more miracles came into our lives. And we named them Killian and Halen. There are two boys. I'm not even going to talk about them, or I'm just going to ugly cry up here for a long time. The way is through, and it's one step at a time. Just let her be. You don't have to worry about anything other than the next step in front of you. God's going to handle the rest, okay? You can trust that. Have some faith. Put it to the test. Just do the next right thing. And listen, if you're really in this right now, if you're in the pit, if you are down low, your next step might be as simple as just taking care of yourself, okay? Eat, sleep. I'm not gonna go on a tangent here. Cole made me promise not to do this, but you know you're 70% water. You know that, right? What happens to water when it stays still, y'all? Yes, it becomes poison. What once nourished can kill. Don't let yourself turn into poison. Move just a little. Stay moving. Don't isolate. We're talking about you got to nail the basics here. They are so important. And if that's all that you're able to focus on, that is perfectly fine. That does a lot. That goes a long way. And if you're here and you know Jesus and you have a relationship with him and you're surrounded by his people, you're reading the word and you're just trying to listen and learn from him, I feel confident telling you your next step's going to be made very clear. That's how this works. God doesn't make it confusing. And if you still don't know what it is, ask him for it. Ask him for clarity. Ask him to make it perfectly clear. That's your next step. And there are two more steps that are just heavy on my heart tonight, man, for our church and for this community. And they're these. They're your last blanks, okay? Step one is salvation. And step two is baptism. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is your next step. If you want to make it through, if you want to have any of the hope that I'm talking about, all of this came from knowing him. All of this came from being surrounded by his people. All of this came from Jesus. I didn't do this. And I don't know what everybody here is going through. I don't have the details. I believe, I will stand on this, that with Jesus, one step and one miracle at a time, that you can make it through. And you can look for this peace we're talking about, and you can look for this comfort, and you can look for your next step everywhere else if you like, but you're not going to find it anywhere else but here. Seas don't part for just anybody, okay? And so I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm going to give you a chance. Will you guys just stand up with me? This is how we do this. We're going to say a prayer together. And everybody here that has a relationship with Jesus, that knows him already, we're going to take this step with you. If you're saying this for the first time tonight, everyone's going to say it out loud so you're not alone. You're not singled out. And I'm going to lead you through this prayer of salvation. You guys just bow your head and close your eyes and repeat this after me, okay? Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need your help and your forgiveness. I accept your gift of salvation. You are Lord. Come into my life and take over. Teach me and guide me. I'm walking with you now. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Keep your eyes closed, y'all. If you said this for the first time tonight, I really, really, really would love the honor of just celebrating with you. So if you did, will you raise your hand? And will you just look up at me? I see y'all. Thank you. God, I want to pray over my friends who just met you tonight. I pray that you would bless them and you would bless their families as a result of this relationship with you. I pray that you would walk with them and guide them, and that you would make them more like yourself quickly for their sake and for the sake of everyone around them. I pray that you would bless them and be with them. I pray that your spirit would come inside and upon them, Lord. I pray that you would change their life in the best way possible from this moment forward. God, thank you for this. Y'all can look up at me. This last step is baptism. And my friends who just got saved, I got a surprise. I have your next step. This is the second thing. This is the next thing that Jesus says to do after you get saved, is to get baptized. And do you know what baptism is? Is everybody clear on this? It's simple. It's literally just letting the people around you know that you know Jesus and that you're walking with him. That's it. And it's an opportunity for all of us to cheer, to celebrate, to congratulate you on this. And surprise, we're going to do them next week. So there's a card in your seat. And by the way, if you didn't get saved today, but you haven't been baptized, this is your next step too. And please don't push this off. Because I think about how many next steps you might be blocking by not taking this one right in front of you. And don't be shy. There's a card in your seat. You can take it, pick it up, start filling it out right now. There's going to be people at each exit tonight as you leave with baskets, and you just drop that card in there. You don't have to be scared of this, because all you're doing tonight is just filling out a piece of paper. And all these people are going to get, they're going to watch you get baptized anyway, so they don't care. It's great. Guys, we've had the miracle of over 700 people meet Jesus in this church just this year. Oh. That's amazing. And I know that this step of baptism is a lot of our next step. So please don't delay. Don't push it off. I just want to end tonight by saying thank you from the bottom of my heart, man, for listening and for being my church and letting me tiptoe in and out of this place for years when I didn't know what to believe, and just letting me do it. Thank you for loving my family well, Lauren and the boys and I. Thank you for your time tonight. It's my prayer, my hope that this little snapshot of our story could be helpful to you in some way. I love y'all. Please don't miss baptism next week. It's going to be beautiful. And we'll we'll see you then. Okay, have a great week.
All right.